Understanding conflict management skills. Let me pick up again where I was a moment ago regarding win-win solutions. I was trying to say to you, think win-win when you're in committee meetings, when you're in the process of constructing a building, when you are revising a set of bylaws. Be determined that you're going to do your best to advocate your goals and maintain the best possible relationship with the opposing party. That's the win-win styles. Now let's look at the compromise style. In this style of managing conflict, an effort is made to meet in the middle or give up some goals while making an effort to gain others. We're not saying at this point that you should give up your desire to maintain a good relationship. The relationship is also very important. But here, there's more of a negotiation where the goal is concerned. The compromise style is similar to the win-win style in that the conflicting parties achieve a solution without great loss to the desired goal and minimum damage to the relationship. Nobody gets everything that is desired. No party is totally satisfied. Political parties come to my mind when I think about compromise solutions. In city, state, and federal government, there are groups that work very hard to achieve a certain goal. But persons of the opposing party are working just as hard to achieve theirs. The parties must, however, eventually bring the issue to a conclusion. It may take a long time because each party so strongly advocates its position. They may simply refuse to negotiate some issues, while others are quite expendable. On some issues, it seems that the debates will continue indefinitely, but finally, they agree on a solution. Both parties will announce that they did their best, but could have done better had the other party been more sensible. At the same time, each party will claim any good that can be seen in the solution. Does that not remind you or make you think of political parties, what's going on in the realm of politics today? The compromise solution is not the best solution, but it is a solution. It may be the only way to solve the problem for the present. And it may prevent conflict of a greater magnitude or conflict of a more damaging nature from occurring. Serious consideration should be given to compromise solutions because they do bring about resolution when there is a high level of conflict. The compromise may be the last opportunity to bring about a form of resolution without irreparable damage being done. As compromise solutions are negotiated, personal goals are given a lower priority, and the relationship functions on a basis with less exchange, openness, and generosity than those in win-win solutions. A main concern in a compromise solution is that the parties work to see how much of their original goal they can achieve. Just because they've entered into negotiations does not mean they're immediately going to give up any of their original desires. Parties who agree to a compromise solution move into a dormant state as far as the relationship is concerned. Nothing happens much in any direction. The relationship does not necessarily deteriorate. The relationship does not necessarily improve. It's dormant. They are going to wait and see if the other party will live by the commitments and the promises that were made in light of the fact that neither party is totally pleased with the compromise. This style will be used when personal goals are important, but relationships are equally important because the relationship involves the two parties and they are both prominent and they have power. The compromise style will be used when both parties have resources to negotiate from positions of strength also. They don't have to give in so quickly. They don't have to give up. They feel self-confident in who they are and what they're trying to do. This style is used when parties recognize that neither side is going to achieve all the goals that is desired by each party. And compromise solutions occur when parties recognize win-win solutions are a possibility, but neither party is absolutely sure, neither party is so sure that they will win. In fact, they could possibly lose if a win-win solution is forced. Compromise is the best thing. Compromise solutions allow for a party to improve its position. That's another thing you need to keep in mind as you work toward a solution based on compromise. Maybe later on, the situation could improve, especially for you. After the passage of time and events, one party could eventually be in a better bargaining position than the other. Compromise solutions, however, this is something that's important to keep in mind. Compromise solutions require more maintenance than win-win solutions. Although the parties have agreed to a compromise, there's always the question as to whether the other party is maintaining the status quo or is that other party trying to better its position? Is it working to improve its position? You see what I'm saying? Compromise solutions require maintenance. Checking out to see what's happening on the other side, so to speak. Church conflicts that frequently call for a compromise approach to solving disagreements often involve the budget, which literature to use, the times of worship services, what staff positions to fill, and similar types of conflict situations. Now let's talk about the accommodation style. The accommodation style places a very high priority on relationships, while considerably minimizing that person's personal goal or the group's personal goals. Relationships are extremely important in the accommodation style of managing conflict. Some church members practice the accommodation style because of their theology. Theology does have its place in the management of conflict. They will quote scripture that relates to the Jesus, others, and you theme. They do not want to fight, especially in the church. The majority of the church's congregations are made up of those persons who prefer the accommodation style of managing conflict. Others first, me last. The accommodation style maintains that relationships are fragile. Relationships are fragile, and that personal goals are not so important. You know some folks like this. Whatever you want, you can have. It's not important to me. These are words that they express. Whatever it takes, their concern is that the relationship not be damaged. This is the accommodation style of managing conflict. Okay, I quit. You can have it. Let me go. Assertive people have a difficult time employing this style of managing conflict. They have a difficult time functioning in the accommodation style because its approach to managing conflict requires extreme patience, it requires tolerance, it requires a willingness to place the concerns of others far above their own. The assertive person will prefer the win-lose or the win-win approach in that order. A person who employs the accommodation style may be seen as weak, but this person frequently has a more durable personality than the person who intimidates others by a constant use of a win-lose style of conflict management. Those who use the accommodation style are more likely to conserve energy and emotion during conflict, and often they are resourceful persons who have much or a great knowledge to contribute to the situation in working out a conflict. Persons employing the accommodation style may appear as detached and disinterested during conflict situations, and they may even be a source of irritation to those who want to immediately solve all the problems. We've all observed conflicts where there were a few who were always at the front waging the war, while there were those who were just waiting to see what was going to happen before they did anything about participating in the controversy. Remember, virtually everyone, however, everyone will fight sooner or later. Everyone will get into the action sooner or later, including persons who manage conflict using the accommodation style. Now, let's discuss the win-lose style. Personal goals take precedence over relationships in this style. The goal is the God. The goal is the God. People can be dealt with later, but the immediate need is to accomplish the goal, the win-lose style. The goal is the God. People can be dealt with later. The immediate need is to accomplish the goal. Relationships are only important as they contribute to the accomplishment of the goal. And in most cases, it's the goal of that individual or that group. Many people tend to use this style first because it is so easy to move into the win-lose mode. Again, the goal is important. The relationship is not so important. This style comes out of the basic human emotion to get even or not let anyone take advantage of you. Parties who quickly advance into the win-lose conflict management style can do great and lasting damage to each other. Caution should be used when employing the win-lose style. Name-calling, street fights, and even shootouts are common events in the persons who frequently, consistently, commonly use the win-lose style, the win-lose approach to managing conflict. If this is your dominant style, you may find yourself encountering numerous confrontations. Those repetitious confrontations can severely damage any relationship after a while. No one wants to put up with that type of an attitude forever and ever and ever. In fact, they evoke responses that may even shock the one who frequently uses the win-lose style. If you constantly use that style, you someday may be even disappointed or surprised at yourself for letting go, letting loose control of your life and your emotions. Be careful about using the win-lose style too frequently. Ironically, this style has its place, and it should be used at appropriate moments. One such moment is when one has responsibility for giving leadership. You have the authority. You're called on by your office to take action. You should use the win-lose style. You should make a decision based on goals and the values, the good of the moment, the good of the group. It's necessary on occasion to employ a win-lose style of managing conflict. Such an approach may result in a quick solution of the problem at hand. Otherwise, there could be a lot of confusion, a lot of disruption, an extension of the problem for a great while to come. Then there's the avoidance style of managing conflict. This style is used when one has little concern for relationships or little concern for his personal goals. Again, he avoids relationships, is not concerned about goals, let me out of here, I'm not interested. Words that are commonly expressed by this person or the person who uses this style are, it's just not worth fighting about. I don't care about that, and I'm not so sure that what I have to say is important. Withdrawal is the primary strategy. A conscious effort is made to avoid conflict through physical and mental evacuation of the stress-producing environment. The validity of the avoidance style is in the fact that some issues are so insignificant or promise so little result that it is simply best to stay away from them or avoid them. The avoidance style can be used for a few moments or a few years. What happens when the avoidance style is used as an approach to managing conflict? Nothing. The one who is implementing this style is dead set in neutral and either refuses or is unwilling to make any move on his behalf or for the benefit of others. Ironically, this style of conflict management is a type of quiet violence. It greatly frustrates those who want to move a conflict situation in the direction of resolution. A wise conflict manager sees the value in occasional use of the avoidance style. He realizes the issue will eventually resolve itself, or it may be totally out of his jurisdiction, or it is an issue that no one can solve. All he can do is express his concern and support for any solution, but stay away from the conflict in the interim. Now let's discuss the church and conflict management styles. How does the above information affect the church? Is there any relevance for the church when it finds itself in conflict? Can any of this information be of help when it comes to dealing with conflict in the church? The answer to all of these questions is, of course, yes. As has been maintained all along, conflict is real in the church. Conflict is real in the church. Those persons who find themselves involved in the church use one or more of these types of conflict management when it occurs. In light of the information that has been discussed in the above paragraphs, it would be helpful to keep three thoughts in mind when conflict occurs in the church. First, beware that there are conflicts that outrun all of your efforts. I've said this before, I say it again. There are conflicts that outrun all of our efforts to successfully deal with them. Destructive conflict can occur. Now, you may, again, feel betrayed at this point because your heart's desire is to learn some skills that will lead you to be successful during any conflict issue. But no one has the skill to bring all conflicts to a point of satisfactory resolution, even in the church. Church members are human beings. They can be greatly supportive of the church, its programs, its staff, the denomination, and all the other things that comprise it. Church members can be a part of specific congregations for decades. Their faithfulness can be seen by their attendance, their financial support, their willingness to serve in responsible positions. Because church members are human, however, they can also become major antagonists in the church. There are those individuals in the church who will always be a source of uneasiness in congregational life. It may be soon after a pastor arrives that he encounters this type of church member, or it may be a matter of months before that person reveals himself. But sooner or later, he will reveal himself. You will meet him. In your most sincere way, you will try to deal with the issue that has surfaced. Patience, consideration, and a willingness to negotiate will be some of the things that you try. Time will pass, but the issue remains. It will begin to preoccupy your thinking, and you will ask others to help you come up with a solution that will solve the problem. But nothing works. And you begin to question your own skills as a minister. The problem may even cause you to begin to wonder if you should be serving this congregation, or maybe you should pack up and go someplace else. So many ministers have had these experiences that I'm describing in these paragraphs. There are people like this in every church. There are issues that simply will not be resolved. There's a good chance the people and the issues have been around for a long time, and no one is ever going to be able to find a solution. So what can you do? What can you do in a situation like this? What can you do? Nothing. You can do nothing except learn to live with it. You can live with it by realizing that you are in a situation that has probably been around for a long time, and no one else was able to do anything about it either. You can live with it by keeping the person or the problem under control as best you can. Don't antagonize the situation. Doctor it as often as necessary. Don't let its lack of resolution make you feel like you have failed. You can live with this problem as you share it with a support group. Now, I'll discuss these at a later point, but in brief, support groups are often made up of experienced ministers who can tell you of similar experiences and how they learn to live with them. So, I will strongly advocate that at the time this class is over, that you will be a member of a support group somewhere. Remember, there are some situations that involve people or problems that will never be resolved. Secondly, understanding conflict management styles prepares you to have some sort of a response in mind when conflict occurs. If, for example, you're approached by a person who is of a win-lose attitude when he confronts you about an issue and that person stands in a significant position of strength due to his tenure or his authority and power, while you're not so sure of your position in terms of accuracy, knowledge, and power, your safest response for that moment might best be that of the accommodation style. That is, you're presently willing to accommodate this person and listen to him partially because of his approach to this matter. A win-lose response to his win-lose initiative may quickly close the doors of communication, and you could have a major conflict before you know what has happened. You also need to be careful about your use of the win-lose style of managing conflict. There are those occasions when you know that you're right. You know that you have power. You know that what you believe is correct. It's important. It must be done. You have the tenure. You have the authority to make a statement. But you also know that it's not necessary to exercise all of that power at this particular point. Nothing of significance is really gained by overwhelming a person who doesn't need to be overwhelmed or overpowered. If you do, you may lose a friend for life. You may lose a potential resource for life. Exercise your win-lose power in a cautious manner. You realize there's little value in embarrassing or manhandling the person who is questioning you or your office. You're secure enough in your own right. You're self-confident enough that you don't need to, although you could, exercise a win-lose style of managing conflict. You're aware of the value of exercising the win-lose style at more appropriate times. Just as true is the fact that you are in error when you should employ the win-lose style and you fail to do so. Did you hear what I said? You are in error when you should employ the win-lose style and you don't. You fail to do so. You're not alert enough to know when you should use it. Or for some reason, you're not exercising that style of conflict management when you should. You have authority. You have power. You have responsibility. You have position. You have place. You have all of this. But you refuse to exercise the win-lose style because you don't like conflict, or you do not want to alienate anyone. Remember, there are times you should make use of the win-lose style of managing conflict. Now, let me try to bring this all together again. We're talking about the church and conflict management styles. And I said, first, beware that there are conflicts that do outrun all of your efforts to successfully deal with it. Secondly, I've said that understanding conflict management styles prepares you to have some sort of a response in mind when it occurs. Now, thirdly, I want to say to you that you should be aware of the style that you most frequently use and consider whether or not it is giving you the results that you sincerely desire. Let's look at them one more time. Win-win. When involved in conflict, do you make a sincere effort to bring about a win-win solution? It's not easy. You are committed to your goals, but you must also realize the value of your personhood, the value of other people's personhood. Win-win solutions are difficult to achieve, but it's possible to achieve them. They require sincere effort on behalf of all the parties involved. Secondly, compromise. Do you compromise too frequently, or are you reluctant to ever give up some of your goals for the good of the body? You will know that you excessively use the compromise style when you find yourself consistently working to solve the same problems over and over and over again. Accommodation. Do you realize that there are those occasions when your goals are not as valuable as the relationship? Can you understand that a relationship in the future might be more valuable than accomplishing a goal for the present, so that it is best to accommodate the other person who's presently involved? Win-lose. Do you believe there are times to strongly advocate your goal? However, you want to be careful to allow this style of conflict management be the one that gives you a reputation for always demanding your own way. Avoidance. Do you dislike conflict so much that you will do almost anything to avoid it? Avoidance is a legitimate way to deal with conflict, but its constant use is an indication there are some issues in your life that make you feel you are inadequate to deal with conflict. The point is that frequent use of the same styles may indicate a weakness in the management of conflicts and a need to learn new styles that will enhance your ministry. Let me share with you then these words of summary. Personal goals and relationships are the primary concerns in conflict situations. Personal goals and relationships. How a person feels about a certain goal and the persons with whom he must interact as he seeks to achieve that goal will give direction to how he manages the conflict. The various styles that are available for managing conflict are win-win, compromise, accommodation, win-lose, and avoidance. Each style has value and an appropriate time and place for its use. A misuse of a particular style may serve only to aggravate a situation. An intentional effort to learn and use the correct style at the most appropriate time could give very satisfying results when conflict occurs. In conclusion, let me suggest, improve your skills. Improve your skills of the use and knowledge of conflict management styles. You know that conflict can occur at any time, in any place, in any reason. You may not be able to bring about a resolution because of the nature of the conflict, but a knowledge and use of conflict management skills can prove to have real value in your ministry. This concludes 4.